Welcome to Christian Baptist Church. If you're a visitor with us this morning, very special, warm welcome. And I believe we have our dear friends from Romania have rejoined us. Welcome back. Lovely to see you with us again this morning. In your bulletin today, there are a few items that I would like to draw your attention to. If at this time you are considering baptism, following the obedience of the command of Scripture, and you want to go into the waters of baptism in obedience, then please speak to me at some time and I will set up a baptism class. Same goes for membership. If you're not yet a member of our congregation and would like to discuss the possibility of membership, please speak to me. That's in the bulletin. Also, there's an opportunity for men of the community to join with other men down at the Nazarene Church for an evening related to the Promise Keepers movement. So that's in the bulletin as well. An exciting time of the year is the fall always in a church, and we're starting a series of life groups this fall, and the bulletin information is right there on the white sheet for you to take a look at. Just one correction there, the one that George is doing on the Bible, the TV series on the Bible, he's now going to keep that from 7 till 8:30. He doesn't want it to go on too late in the fall, so 8:30 in the evenings. But do look at that and see if there's anything there that interests you. A reminder again that next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month, and we are very concerned with the needy of our community, and our food pantry is frequently running out of supplies. So in the bulletin there is some information for some products, items that the food pantry would really love to have replenished. Mark your calendars, of course, for October the 26th. We have our retreat day, our day away, when we can discuss the life and ministry of the church. All are welcome. And the rest of the bulletin items are right there. Please read that and mark your calendars accordingly. Let us now gather our time together. And well, before we do, let's stand and welcome and greet one another where we are. Good morning, Rose. We have a special guest speaker with us today, Anne Drost from Canadian Baptist Ministries, and we're looking forward to your presentation this morning, Anne. Anne has brought some information for us to take away and to read. It's on the table downstairs in the basement. So pick up a bulletin or this brochure on Canadian Baptist Ministries and learn a bit more. Let's now gather our thoughts, our minds, and our hearts as we prepare to worship our God. Let us pray. Father God, we have come this morning, this beautiful morning, and we give you thanks for this beautiful season. We've come this morning to get set an hour or so aside just to be in your presence, to worship you. We are going to lift up our voices in prayer and in song to you. So we pray, Heavenly Father, for your presence among us by your Holy Spirit. Keep us focused, let us not be distracted. Let all the thoughts and concerns of the week behind and the week ahead be gone from our minds for this hour. Be present among us by your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. It's wonderful to see so many children now coming to our church. It's a real blessing. I've no idea where they come from, but they're coming, which is great. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, how can we not praise you and bless you and thank you for a day as glorious as today? We are so blessed to have this wonderful season of fall. And we know that the blessing of the fall colors and the crisp air are a blessing that you have bestowed on us. And we give you thanks. Lord, while we have many blessings here in this part of the world, the safety and security of freedom of our faith, and we have relative freedom on our streets compared to other parts of the world. Lord, we lift up to you those parts of the world that are tormented by ongoing terror, bloodshed, and fighting. Lord, we just do not experience that ourselves, and we are thankful, but our hearts are broken for those parts of the world where people are just held in misery by other people. And we lift them up to you, Lord, today. For your blessing. Lord, we do pray for peace on earth, but we know peace can only come through the Lord Jesus Christ entering in the hearts of every man and woman. But Lord, it has to begin with us. And so, Lord, we pray that we will be men and women of peace in our homes, in our communities, our places of work, and wherever we go. we will present the face and the heart of peace. That we will reflect to the people around us the love of God that is in our hearts. And Lord, now hear the quiet prayers of each one of us in the quietness of this place. Lord, we give you thanks that you do hear our prayers. We pray that we will become people who pray, who seek your face every day, seek you throughout the day, that will be attentive to your movement in our lives and the move of your Spirit upon us. Now, Lord, I lift up to you Anne Grost, who's going to give us a message on ministry and mission from Canadian Baptist Ministries. I pray your Holy Spirit upon her to guide and direct her speaking to us today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Anne Rost from Canadian Baptist Ministries. I'm just going to pray for her now. She brings her message to us. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this day. And I pray now your blessing upon Anne as she brings the message you have laid on her heart for us. Fill her now with your Holy Spirit and guide and direct her voice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And what a pleasure to be with you this morning. And I trust that as I share from examples, one in particular of overseas, I hope that you'll be challenged this morning as we think about mission and ministry and our part in all that. And I want to read a few verses that are quite familiar to you from the Gospels. I want to talk about what does it mean to follow Jesus. And it sounds very basic, and it probably is very basic, but I think sometimes we take a lot for granted, and we all need reminders. So I'm going to turn to three different Gospels. They're listed there in your bulletin. The first one is from Matthew chapter 4, and reading verses 18 through 22. And it's called, in my Bible, and maybe yours too, calling the first disciples. And this is when Jesus was alive and on earth and calling people to follow him. As Jesus walked alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea because they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," he said, "and I will show you how to fish for people." Right away they left their nets and followed him. Continuing on, he saw another set of brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee their father repairing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Moving over to the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 2, and a couple of verses here, verses 13 and 14. Jesus went out beside the lake again. The whole crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he continued along, he saw Levi, Alphaeus's son, sitting at a kiosk for collecting taxes. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Levi got up and followed. I think you might get the message. Let's go over to John chapter 1. And this time, verse 43. The next day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And if you read further on there, you'll find that indeed that's what Philip did, was follow Jesus. Let's just open in a word of prayer. Lord God, we just pray that you will open our hearts this morning. Many of us have already, at one time in our life, said yes to following you. Lord, I pray that as we look afresh at these words, that you will speak boldly and that you will show us clearly what it truly means to follow you as your disciples. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I know when you think of mission, you're always thinking of overseas and what's going on there. I love the children's story this morning because mission is everywhere around us. It isn't just overseas. It isn't just in somebody else's neighborhood. It's right here, and it's all around us. And as I'm driving here this morning and along Davis and all the construction and all the new houses and everything, you have a mission field right at your doorstep. And you have a privilege that some communities don't have because you don't have to go very far to find where mission and ministry can be found. As we look at what does it mean to follow Jesus, many of you have said yes a long time ago in your life, that yes, you wanted to be a believer, you wanted to follow Jesus. You wanted a place in heaven when the time came that God called you home. And we're thrilled with that. We're grateful for the promises that God has given us through Jesus Christ, that truly we do have that place one day. But you know, sometimes I think as we grow older in our Christian experience, we kind of lose our edge a little bit, our enthusiasm for ministry and for mission. And we can find all kinds of reasons why we can't do or can't be involved and so on and so on. And you know, if you've read your Bible, I don't see anywhere there where God says when you reach a certain age, you can retire from ministry. It's an ongoing thing. For as long as we breathe, we have mission and ministry to be part of. I had the privilege earlier this summer to be in Kenya, and you've heard about Kenya in the news recently. You've heard about what's going on in Egypt, and I traveled through Cairo. There were some dear folks in my church, Lorne Park Baptist Church, and they're not very young. I think the youngest one might have been 89. And they said to me, as you go, we want you to know there will not be a day that we are not praying for you, for your safety, for health as you go. You know, I counted on those prayers. And when I came back, I could tell these dear ladies, you know, this was a situation that I was in. You were praying. And because you were praying, I'm here to tell you that God was there and things worked out just fine. Sometimes when we even think about prayer, we think of it as an offside. Oh, well, I can't do anything else, but I suppose I might be able to pray. There is nothing under heaven that is any more powerful than prayer. And so I'm here to say, if all you can do is pray, then please don't ever stop praying. There is more than enough to pray about, and I'm sure your pastor would certainly appreciate that as he goes out on your behalf every day of the week. For other people that you know that are out working somewhere, whether it's children in school, whatever, be praying always that God will use them in the places where they are. There's no more important ministry than that. So don't ever say all you can do is just pray. That's huge. But I'm also here to say that we all do have a responsibility, because every one of us, if we are able to move about, we don't stay inside a room all day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, obviously you don't. You're here this morning. And as we are going, we are meeting people. And as we heard this morning, there's a mission field everywhere we go. And sometimes I think we just need to be reminded, as followers of Jesus Christ, it implies that we're doing something. You heard in those verses this morning, Jesus called those disciples. Did you hear any excuses there? Did any one of those men say, well, I've got to do this, and I've got to fix that, and I've got to make sure this is in place before I go? Every one of them left immediately. Even the ones that were working with their father, I can't imagine how he must have felt, you know, going off with this seemingly stranger. But Jesus said, follow me. And they left whatever it was they were doing, no excuses, and off they went. And today, you and I are the benefactors because of that. I often wonder if they had made excuses and said, oh, sorry, not today, I'm too busy, or I've got this appointment and that and the other. Would the gospel have ever reached Europe, Asia, Africa, North America, if they had said no? And sometimes I wonder with you and I, when we think about our part in mission and outreach, because we do make excuses. I make excuses. I've heard other people make excuses. And how many people haven't heard the message because of the excuses that I made? I want to tell you about a part of the world that is very much in the news today. And for all intents and purposes, we would just think that it would be crazy to be involved in mission and ministry there, because it's far too dangerous. But God is at work doing some incredible things. And that little country I want to talk about is Lebanon. Canadian Baptist Ministries is working with the Lebanese Society for Education and Social Development, better known as LSESD, in Baptist circles. They're a tiny little Baptist group. They have a handful of Baptist churches in one of the smallest countries in the world. And most of their population is Islamic. They're not Christian. But these tiny little Baptist churches are being inundated with millions of refugees crossing the border from Syria to escape what's been going on there. It's hard for these little Baptist churches to keep up with what's going on there. But they're opening up their doors. They're opening up their homes to take in some cases, complete strangers. And we are there on your behalf to help with food supplies and to help with other things. But that's not the amazing thing. The amazing thing is how God is using a horrible, horrible, tragic situation and turning it into glory for himself. There's one tiny little church up in Tripoli in northern Lebanon, very near to the Syrian border. One of our people who is based in Lebanon was with a refugee supply group. They were going to go into Syria, and when they got to the border, they had two truckloads of supplies to take over to the refugees that hadn't yet crossed into Lebanon. They were stopped at the border, and the guards wanted to know who they were and what they were doing. Well, our guy said, well, I'm working with the Lebanese Baptists, and we have some aid supplies that we want to take across and give to the refugees that are just on the other side of the border. The border guard said no. Then he looked at the driver of the caravan, of the truck. Who are you? He said, I'm the local pastor at the Baptist Church in Tripoli, and we are working with this Baptist group, and these are our refugee supplies that we want to bring across. You're local? Yes, we just live in Tripoli. Well, please come and bring your truckloads of supplies. They went. And not only were they able to bring truckloads of supplies that day, they were able to do that repeatedly. The local mosque was the largest gathering place, and that's where the food distribution and whatever else they had, that's where they were given out, was at the mosque. The sheikh, the leader of that mosque, came to that Baptist pastor, and he said, the next time you come, would you agree to do some Bible stories with our children? We will make sure they're all here at the mosque. The next time came, and sure enough, the local pastor was able to share Bible stories with a whole mosque full of Muslim children. That went on for a time or two, and then the sheikh said to the pastor, would you be willing to preach to our people? And will you tell them about Jesus? Well, talk about having mission drop right in your lap. Of course he agreed to that. And time after time now, that is happening. The Christian message is being preached in a mosque in the part of Syria that borders onto the northern part of Lebanon. Now, who can orchestrate such things? Only God. Only God. Who would have ever believed that that would even be possible? Only God. And he's doing it. There's a seminary in Beirut, a Baptist seminary that has 50 students that come, and they come from countries that are in the Arab world. There are students there this year from Iraq, from Iran, Algeria, yes, Syria, Egypt, Libya, and numerous other hot spots in the Arab world. I was there 3 years ago now, and I met some of those students, some of whom had become Christian out of a Muslim background. They shared their testimony with me. One of the rules of the seminary is when you finish your studies after 4 years, you're going to go back to the country that you came from. Coming to Beirut to this seminary is not a stepping stone to the U.S. or Western Europe or North America. You will go back to the country where you were born, where you're from. And you will do ministry when you get there. Many of them already had ministry started before they came to seminary, but they were going back. A lot of them were going back into situations that were anything but pleasant. I heard the story of one young man who had a house church right in the heart of Hezbollah in Beirut. And every Sunday, he had a gathering of believers come to his home. He said, if people knew what was going on in my home, I could be killed, no questions asked. And I said, then why do you risk that? Because Jesus called me. I'm a follower of Jesus. I am to be proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ to my neighborhood. And I am doing just that. I don't have to go out on the street and proselytize for people to come. They find me. I said, well, how do people know? How do people find you? And he said, you know, in the Muslim world, most Muslims are on a journey to find God. They all want to know God better. And in the process of that journey, many of them encounter Jesus Christ. And they encounter him through dreams and through visions. I was a little bit jealous. I've never seen Jesus in a dream or a vision. But many Muslims have. And it moves them out of their area of Islam to find that Jesus, because they know that in finding him, they will find more about God, and that's their goal. This young man told me, he said, you know, just this past week, there was a woman came to the door on Sunday, and she knocked the door. And when I opened the door, she said, is this where I can find out about Jesus? And he said, I said, yes, come on in. So then he said, I wanted to know how she found us, because he said she didn't live on our street or even in the near neighborhood. So she proceeded to tell him about a dream that she had. And in her dream, she saw the street, and she saw a row of houses, and there was a tree out front of one of the houses. And she said, I was told to go to that house. She said, your house, this house. And this is where I know I can find Jesus. I heard story after story, and I don't know about you, but chills were just going up and down my spine as I was hearing about God at work, doing amazing ministry in the midst of horrible, horrendous conditions. Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, Algeria are not the places that I would rush to do mission and ministry. But you know, God has already rushed there. And it's happening. And Muslims are coming to faith at phenomenal rates. You'll never hear that in the news. That's not popular. And certainly the Muslim extremists don't want you to know that either. But I'm here to say, it's happening. It's happening because people are praying and they are following Jesus into some pretty horrendous places. And they are not counting the cost. Any of them could die at any moment, and they know that. But let me tell you, it's not stopping them. And if it's doing anything, it's energizing them. One of our staff just came back from Algeria and was talking about how Canadian Baptist Ministries can assist some of these graduates as they get back into their countries and are in difficult situations. And he came back with a story of the Algerian church that he had been privileged to be part of. He said it started a year and a half ago with 15 people. He said, I was there on Sunday morning. He said, and it's not being hidden in any way, shape, or form. They have this huge gathering of over 1,200 people who are not afraid to step out and say, I want to follow Jesus. You know, when I come back and into the world that I'm living in here in Ontario, and I look at the church here in Ontario, in Canada, in North America generally. Every Sunday morning, we gather in places like this, and it's not just the Baptists who gather. We're not the only evangelicals who believe in Jesus Christ. There are many others as well. But when I look at Canada, we're not even on the list of Christian nations anymore. And I come back and I have to ask that question, why? Why is stuff happening in places like Lebanon and Egypt and Kenya and other places where all we hear is trouble, but it sure doesn't mean that God is not there and doing amazing work in the midst of all that? And I have to look around and say, you know, here's a handful of believers, which I'm making an assumption here that all of you are, most of you are. And where is our dedication when it says, I will follow Jesus? When I invited Christ into my life, I said, yes. What has happened to the yes? And what's happened to the yes in the lives of not just believers in the Baptist Church, but in the lives of others who are followers of Jesus Christ? For the most part, I think we have become very apathetic. We have become too comfortable. We live lifestyles that we don't want to change. We have all of the comforts and more. We want our holidays. We want our toys. We want, we want, we want. And if we have time, we'll be in church Sunday morning. And if I have any money left in my wallet on Sunday morning, I'll put it in the offering plate. And somehow I think in our apathy, I wonder why God doesn't spew us out of his mouth. I really don't. And as I said, you're in the middle of a mission field. All those new homes that are being constructed, do they all go to church? That would be nice if they all did. There is something for all of us to do. And I'm here this morning to challenge you to find your something. It might mean going to Tim Hortons once or twice a week and sitting there for a while and find out who comes kind of regularly and get to know some people. And then eventually you'll be able to talk about Jesus. For those of you who are still in the workplace, well, you already have your mission field. Some of you have families, maybe local, maybe not. But are all your families believers, and are they actively involved in following Jesus? One thing you can do is certainly to be on your knees every day, praying for those grandchildren, praying for those sons and daughters who perhaps have not made a profession of faith. This isn't a one-size-fits-all, because we're all different. And God isn't going to call all of us to do the same thing. But I'm here to say, God is calling. He's already called you. You already said yes. And perhaps something has happened between the time that you said yes and the time that you are now in your life. Rediscover that first love that you had, that passion for Jesus, that passion to want to share your faith, that passion to want to see others come to faith. And I believe if every one of us who claim to be a follower of Jesus, if we were actively following Jesus, our country, our cities, our towns, our churches would be very different places than they are. And sometimes we just say, well, there's nothing I can do. You know, no one's going to point a gun at my head because I'm a follower of Jesus. Not likely. Nor will they do that to you. If these young pastors all over the Arab world will risk their life to further the gospel, what am I willing to do? What am I willing to do? Lord God, challenge us. Speak to us. Break through that apathy that all of us have seemingly fallen into. Lord, you've called us. You've made us yours. And yes, you've even promised us a home with you someday. And we are so grateful. Might we show our gratitude out of action in following you wherever it is that you take us. In Jesus' name, amen.
And thank you for your message today. I think it's stirred our hearts to consider that wherever we are, no matter what we're doing, we can always find a missionary opportunity. What you don't know is we had a wonderful presentation last Sunday from our student intern from Tyndale, and she was raised in a Muslim home in a country in the Middle East, and her father was the local imam.
Wow.
So she came to Christ at 17, and you will understand the battles that she has gone through since then. And you also touched earlier in your message about prayer, and we've just started a prayer project in our congregation for morning, the discipline of morning and evening prayer. So we're entering into that, and so your message today was very timely.
God will do amazing things
when we pray. That's right. Let me pray with you. Father God, I give you thanks for Anne and her heart for the missions, particularly the missions in the Middle East. Lord, and I pray your protection upon her wherever she goes, Lord. And I pray that your spirit will guide and direct her paths each and every day of her life. I lift her up to you now for your blessing, your comfort, and your protection. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We heard the message today that as we leave this building right here in Newmarket, we are entering the mission field. Everywhere we go, there's someone who needs to hear the love of God through Jesus Christ. Let us be those people who bring that message to this community right here in Newmarket. We don't have to get on a plane. Go in peace today. Go knowing that God loves you and God has a calling on your heart. Hear that calling and take it. Go in peace. Amen.